Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go there for a few minutes. And let's just talk about faith for a few minutes here. I know everybody's hungry and wanting to eat. Dale's shaking his head yes. So, we're going to try it. If you'll listen well, we'll get done quickly. Huh?
Smell my nasty
soup, you'll lose your appetite. Yeah. Okay, Hebrews chapter 11, let's read verse 8. This simple. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Simple as that. He obeyed. God called him, and he went out, he obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where he was going. God called him out to a country, you know, that he, and didn't tell him where he's going. Just get out of there. And he did it. Faith, Abraham's faith is mentioned as kind of the standard throughout the Bible, you know, the faith of Abraham. What is it? Well, there's a lot of confusion about it, I'll tell you for sure, in the world we're living in. Faith is simply continually, consistently believing and trusting in God, no matter what. That's what faith is. Faith's not some kind of power that we can exercise or some means of controlling God. And that's the way most people preach it, believe it, want it. They want it so that they want something that gives them power to control God so they can make Him do what they want. Faith is trusting God. Faith is not believing that God will do what we want Him to or give us what we want. Somebody said one time, said a lot of folks want to serve God, but only in an advisory position. Faith's not the assurance that everything's going to turn out all right. Gary said something in Sunday school this morning about some guy having trouble at work and all this, and he said he was wanting somebody to tell him it's going to be all right. And he said, I wasn't going to tell him, man. Well, you can't. The only way you can do this is lie. I mean, you're just taking a chance for you telling me it's going to be all right. You know, this ain't going to happen. And then you got a 50-50 chance, at least, of lying to him. Yeah. Faith don't mean that everything's going to be all right. Faith means that God is right. And God is faithful. And God's consistent and trustworthy. Doesn't mean that He's going to fix everything just lovey-dovey for you and your life's just going to be fine. Doesn't mean that for anybody.
Right.
Saved or lost or anybody. Faith's not the assurance everything's going to be all right or turn out the way we think it should. It's trust in God no matter what happens. You know, love and faith go together. Yep. How can you have faith without love? And how can you have love without faith?
Yeah.
You have to trust somebody. Kind of hard to be married to somebody if you can't trust them.
That's true.
Kind of hard to love somebody if you can't trust them.
Right.
Faith is not to be the focus. Our faith is not to be the focus. Jesus is supposed to be the focus.
Yep.
Faith, your faith, does not save you.
No.
Did you ever hear that before? Well, it's in the Bible. James chapter 2, verse 14, what doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? That's a question with the obvious answer of no. You're preaching works. No, I'm preaching faith. I'm preaching on faith tonight, not works. But faith works. And faith without works is dead. He went on to say there. And a lot of people depend upon their faith instead of on God. If you're not listening to me, you're not going to understand what I'm saying here.
Right.
But most people depend on their faith. They're trusting in their faith, not Christ.
Right. Right.
They're trusting in how much they can believe, how well they think they're believing.
Yes.
And they just believe real hard. And they think they're gaining something there. And they trust in whether or not they're confident. They trust in their own self, and you fall that way.
Yes.
It's not your faith, it's Christ that saves you.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
You got to trust Him. You hear it all the time. You'll never hear them say on the news about, or anybody that's interviewing, or any celebrity that's talking, they'll never say, the Lord delivered us from that. They'll say, my faith brought us through.
Yeah.
Our faith brought us through it. I had to turn to my faith. Well, that don't tell me nothing,
right,
except they don't know what they're talking about. I want to hear them say, I turned to God, and He was faithful.
Amen.
And He did what He said He would do.
Amen.
That's why I trust Him.
Amen.
It's not our faith that carries us through or does anything for us at all. It's not my faith. I've got nothing to contribute to this thing. I got nothing to bring to the table when I come to God. We talked this morning about a true heart when you come to God. I got nothing to bring. Not even my faith. I believe. Yeah. And if you believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Faith has a part, but it's not faith that saves us. It's Christ that saves us. By faith are you, by grace are you saved through faith. That's what the Bible says. So, faith is not the power itself. God is the power. Faith is the means that we have to put what we can't deal with into the hands of God who can. That's faith. That's the part that faith plays in our life and in our dealing with problems in our life. Some people have a different kind of faith. All people have some kind of faith. I've watched people all through the years, and I see people say they don't believe, but they believe in something.
Yes.
They put her in somewhere. They put their faith somewhere. If it's not in God, it's in something else. It's in somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
But not everybody has the right kind of faith. Everybody's got some kind, but not everybody has the right kind. There's a lot of difference between intellectual faith and heart faith.
Mm-hmm.
Believing in your head,
yeah,
and believing in your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Bible don't say with the head man believes unto salvation. Remember, we read it this morning. Does it?
No.
It says with the what? With the heart man believeth unto salvation. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, unto righteousness. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Intellectual faith is faith without works.
Right.
You want me to tell you what faith without works is? Just words. That's all it is.
Right.
How much does that mean? Yeah, it doesn't mean a thing. Anybody can say anything. God said in the Old Testament about one time, He said, you honor me with your lips, but your hearts are far from me.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's how it is with most people.
Mm-hmm.
Heart faith is effectual. That means it works. Changes your life. It changes your everything about you. Intellectual faith doesn't work. It'll fail when it's tested because there's nothing to it.
Yeah.
And faith is tested. I mean, you say you're going to believe in God, you might as well get ready for it because it's going to be tested,
yes,
tried. God doesn't need to try to find out like He don't know.
Right.
It's me that needs to know what I really got or not.
Yes, sir.
I need to know that I got something in here and in here that'll do when I'm dying, like Brother Milby preached about. That'll get me through anything. That I'm not going to just fall all to pieces and have no refuge and no strength and nowhere to turn when crisis comes in my life, which it will. It always does. Was not Abraham, James chapter 2, verse 21, was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. Y'all listening to this? Abraham was justified by what?
Works.
Well, the Bible says we're justified by faith, but not a faith that doesn't work. Faith without works is dead. It's nothing. Faith without works is just words that you say, that you have, that you don't really have. There's no evidence of it. And by works was made perfect. Faith was made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Did you hear that? That's not me talking. I'm reading out of the Bible. James chapter 2, verses 21 through 24. You see how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only? The person with intellectual faith must understand everything before he'll believe. If you believe in with your heart, you can trust God without having every question answered to your satisfaction. God requires men to believe that way, not with their intellect. What kind of intellect do we have compared to God? You ever try to get your mind around that a little bit? He said, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Yeah. Yeah. And my ways higher than your ways. Why, we just, you know, we look at these animals, the dogs and the cats, and we talk about how dumb they are. And they are. But they're way closer to being as smart as us than we are being as smart as God. And then we think that we can reason and deduce and logic and think all this out. And if it don't compute in our little pea brain, then it is. We throw her out. God requires us to believe with the heart. Not your intellect. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I've already said that's Romans chapter 10, verse 10. Children are a good example because they naturally believe in their parents with heart faith, with that kind of faith. Right. See? They don't have to be reasoned with. That's why Jesus said, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 18, verse 3. They'll trust their parents when they say jump. We've all done it, haven't we? Put the little kid up there and say, now jump! You got to coax them a little bit. The older they get, the less they trust you, don't they? You know why that is? Well, hang on a second. They'll trust us when we say jump. They'll trust us when we tell them stuff. When they're little, I mean little and learning to talk and learning what everything is, they never say, nah. You know, car, they'll say car. That's a car. If you tell them it's a car, if you tell them it's a truck, you tell them it's a light, you tell them it's a floor, they just say, okay. They don't need or demand a complete explanation for everything that's done by their parents. That's why Jesus said you got to be like them if you're going to get in. Mm-hmm. You got to stop this questioning.
Yes.
Everything. I'm God. What I say is true. God that cannot lie.
Right.
God that's holy and just and righteous, who created us. We were His idea. And not like everything is. He had a better idea. Sin messed it up.
Right.
We're the ones who messed it all up.
Yeah.
It's best for parents not to explain everything to their children. You listening to me?
Yep.
Now, people won't agree with that because everybody thinks that they talk to their dogs the same way. They think you just explain it to the dog and he'll understand. Explain it to your 2-year-old, sit there and reason with him and tell him what you want and why you want him to do that and how bad it is not if he don't do it, and he'll just obey. How many of you have done that with your kids and it worked that way? Come on, raise your hands. I don't see no hands. Because it just doesn't work that way. I'm just telling you, it's best not to explain everything to your children. What do they start saying as soon as they can start stringing words together? And what do they say when you tell them something? Why? Well, you ought to smack their mouth first time they say that. Well, there's some truth in that. Now I'm telling you, I know they need to learn and they want to learn, but that ain't what that's about. They're challenging you. They're saying, you're lying to me. How do you know that? So, parents don't, in order to convince them to obey and do what is right, I'm talking about, you shouldn't explain everything to them. If I tell you to go take a bath, Maddie, if your dad tells you to go take a bath, you ought to go take a bath. You shouldn't say, well, I don't want to. I'm not dirty. I took a bath last night. All right. When a child is little, they don't think like that. Parents who don't train their children this way are not laying a foundation for them to have heart faith in God.
Right.
They're preparing a person who can only possess head faith at the best. They won't do it unless they understand why. They won't accept anything unless they understand the reasons and are told the reasons and they're convinced with arguments and all of that. Most people think that a person has to understand before they can believe. Think you got to have understanding before you can have faith. That's not true either. Faith in your parents comes naturally to children when they're little until sin begins its work in them. It's only then that they begin to question and rebel against any interference with their selfish indulgence.
Right.
Something's working in that child as soon as he starts resenting his parents or anybody else.
Yep.
Trying to corral him, trying to control him, trying to restrain him. It's only then that they begin to demand reasons and explanations and condition their obedience on the answers they get. That's sin working in the child's heart and mind. Exactly what it is. All that has to, you know, all you got to understand is that God loves you and He'll not lie to you. And He'll not do you wrong. And you got to trust Him to do what's best for you in everything. Now that's faith. Nothing else is. I'm telling you, nothing else is. Effectual faith has to be based on God's character, not on particular things that He does or doesn't do for us. You can't base true faith upon fleeces that you put out.
Yes.
You just, can't put, that's like gambling. I mean, it is. Yeah. You're putting it up to chance whether you believe Him or not. On based on whether you get what you want or not. If it turns out how you want it or not. Faith must be based upon God, who He is, and what He has said. Now, y'all hearing me here? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You cannot have faith without the Word of God. You cannot have faith any other way. It's got to be based on what He has said, not on what you think He has done or not done, or how He's responded to you and your desires. Not in the blessings that we receive of Him or that we're denied by Him. Read the book of Job. How'd that go? Did Job get what he wanted? I don't think so. Did he deserve what he got? No. It starts out with Job was the richest man in all the East. He was a perfect man. God said he was perfect. Just. And God took up for Job against the devil. The devil said the only reason he serves you is because you have blessed him so much and he's rich. That's why. Let me take his stuff and he'll curse you to your face. God said, just go on. I mean, God said, hast thou considered my servant Job? I wonder, could he say that about any of us? Would God have that confidence, that faith in us as he did in Job? Now, that's ridiculous. No, it's not ridiculous. Faith is a two-way thing.
Yes.
You'll find that if you trust God, He'll trust you.
Yes, sir.
If you have confidence in Him, He'll have confidence in you.
Yeah.
That's the way it works. We talked about that this morning too a little bit. People that won't trust is because they can't be trusted themselves.
Right.
Well, life's, you know, most people have God on trial all the time. And I'm talking about people who claim to be Christians. They believe in God as long as everything is smooth sailing. But boy, if the boat goes to rocking, then they go to questioning God. Has He forsaken me? Why? Where'd that word? I wonder how old they were when they first said that. Why would God let this happen to me? Where'd that start? Back there with the little bitty kids. And why? That's what I said. Nip it in the bud. But we oughtn't to be so tolerant of it, I'm telling you. We ought to say, stop asking why. I told you, that's good enough for you. Yeah, I remember my mom saying, I'd say, why? And she said, because I said so. Well, the next thing was, if you didn't just accept that and go on and do what you're supposed to do, well, the next thing was a little bit more than just because I said so. If he'll do as they please, they believe in him. But if he fails, or if it even looks like he's going to let them down, they accuse him and speak against him in their heart, if not with their lips. You know, the Bible says in all this, Job sinned not with his lips or charged God foolishly. He didn't charge God foolishly when he lost everything for no reason. All of his 10 children, all of his livestock, all of his riches, everything.
Yeah.
He didn't turn to God and say, what? You're wrong. You've done me wrong. He turned to his wife who was saying, it's your fault and it's that religion of yours that's got us in all this mess. I wish you were dead too. And that's really what she said. He said, you're talking like a foolish woman. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
Yep. That's faith. That's the kind that works. That's not that head kind that just agrees with a bunch of facts intellectually.
Right.
Or that's been convinced through apologetics or something, you know. And I tell you all the time, you don't need to study creation to believe in God.
That's right.
That won't bring about real faith. If life's good and all smooth sailing, then God's good. But if the storm comes or the boat turns over, then God's abandoned me and done me wrong. That's not faith. That kind of faith was tried in the fire and it burned up with the fire.
That's right.
Wasn't no count. We can trust Him in spite of the circumstances because we trust in who He is and what He's promised. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Jesus said that. Matthew 28:20. Is he a liar? Nope. I can testify he's not a liar. So can thousands and thousands of people through all of the centuries testify that that is true. In my darkest time, I found him to be true to his word. He never left me comfortless. Hebrews 13:5. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. There in Hebrews it amened what he said and repeated it. Psalm 37:25. David said, I have been young and now I am old, and yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Try to find me a true Christian that's lived his life for God and with real faith. Try to find me one that's at the end of the journey that says, boy, I made a mess up by doing this. I wish I'd have lived my life different. You're not going to find. No, they don't. No creature like that exists. But you can find some people who just refuse to believe in God and trust Him. They wouldn't trust Him. They believe He's there. They won't trust Him. Person who has real effectual faith in God cannot be convinced that God would do him wrong, even if the present circumstances seem to prove that he has. We read that little book about hinds feet, and that was a good little book, and there was one place in there where the shepherd said to her, how did he say it to her? He said about lying to her. He said,
I'm trying to think of how it said. He said it in his own.
But what if I've lied to you, he said. And she said, if you can lie to me, you may.
Yeah. What if I've deceived you?
Yeah. Sweet. See, that's faith.
Yeah.
Right. Tell you what's helped me in just thinking about it. I've thought about it before. Even if God did me wrong, and he never has, but even if he did, and he's willing to forgive all the wrong that I've done to him, can't I cut him a little slack? I mean, even if he did me wrong, why can't I forgive him if he'll forgive me for all I've done? When we can see it, that's not faith. It's reasoning, see? And he who has real heart faith in God will trust him even when it looks like he's doing something against his character. Now listen to me. I'm coming in, see, here for a landing. But Job 13 and verse 15. This is what Job said. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine own ways before him. Though he slay me. All right, get the picture. He's sitting in the pile of ashes with sores all over him. He's lost everything he had. All of his family, all of his riches, everything's gone. And now his body's covered with boils and he's sitting there scraping his boils. And he said, if God kills me right now, I still trust him. I don't know what this is all about. I can't understand it. I don't see no reason for it whatsoever. There's no explanation for it. But I know God is right. And I'll see. I know that when I'm tried, he said on over in chapter 23, I shall come forth as gold. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that in my flesh I shall see him. I'll stand before him. I mean, he believed God. He believed in God's character, no matter what this looks like right now. Have you ever been there? Well, yeah, I have been there. Pretty near to that same place. And had to really do some real searching and thinking about God, my own self, and what this is all about. But sometimes God will do things, listen to me, that don't seem consistent with his character to try your faith. He commanded Abraham to offer Isaac, even though all the promises that he'd given Abraham were wrapped up in that boy. Everything that God had promised Abraham all of his life were wrapped up in that boy. And God said, take him and go to Mount Carmel and offer him there for a burnt offering. Well, think of all the reasons and think of what had to go through Abraham's mind. But when it came right down to it, here was the issue. He knew that God said it. It was not his imagination. It wasn't some other spirit. He knew God. He was a friend of God. And so he obeyed. Sometimes God calls on us to believe and trust him when all the evidence suggests that he's working against us or that he's forgotten us. Even when it appears that God's doing him hurt and wrong, he'll still trust that God's right and will do no wrong. We got to take the long look at the whole picture and realize that God's working a much bigger plan than what we can see from where we're at. The simple little thing, you know, you've all seen about the little girl looking up at her mama doing her crocheting or needle pointing, and how from the bottom it looked terrible. And she said, you're just making a mess with that, mama. And she turned it over so she could see the upper side. And that's kind of how it is. We don't know what God's doing. It's far more complicated than what we can imagine in our minds. It's far more wonderful than we can comprehend also.
Right.
When we all get to heaven, those who make it to heaven, who are really saved here, when we get there and we see what God was doing in all of the... I mean, we're going to be speechless. It's going to overwhelm us.
Yes, sir.
At the wonder that he was doing. The person who has only an intellectual faith in trouble when the tragedies and calamities of life fall on him or on his loved ones, there's no explanation to be had for what's happened or what's happening. And they have no comfort or refuge or hope. Man, I've watched this all my life as a Christian. People do fine sitting in church, shouting it out and hooping it up and being social with everybody and all of that and playing their religious game. And then something comes along that just knocks the whole props out from under them. And they wipe out with God. Well, that was, they just did not have real faith. They believed in God intellectually, and they just agreed and joined the social club, is what they did. There was no personal knowledge and real intimacy between them and God. They just weren't. So, you know, if they have to have all the answers, they're in for trouble. If you have to have explanations and you have to be able to understand everything, you are in trouble with God. You're not going to make it. When the troubles come, they're going to come on you and they're going to hurt. It's like it hurts everybody, and you're going to have no comfort, no refuge, and no hope. There's just things... There's things that have happened in my life that I have no answer for. Why? Why? It just wasn't right. Well, all right. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? Am I going to curse God and die like Job's wife said to him? Curse God and die. She was accusing God, for sure. Job said, "You're talking like a foolish woman." Or am I just going to trust God? Am I just going to believe in His goodness, in His faithfulness, in His love? Does He love me or not? Well, when you get in a situation like that, you need to sit down with a pencil and a piece of paper and just start writing down the things God has done for you that you know of. I tell you, He's done so much more for you that you don't know about. If you could write it all down, you'd be writing for a long time. Write down how God's blessed you, the good things in your life that He's given you, the times He's delivered you from things that, where you ought to be dead and in hell. And then measure it up against what you're accusing Him of, or blaming Him for, or thinking evil of Him about. This is the trial of our faith. And all faith will be tested. Mine as yours. But only the right kind will survive the fire. You know, we were talking today there about knowledge and all of that. And the Bible instructs us to get knowledge and to get wisdom. But that'll not carry you through.
That's right.
You got to have faith in God. And you got to have the right kind of faith. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. So it is going to be tried. Nobody's going to get to heaven on faith that hasn't been put through the fire. The person who demands to understand the whole matter before he'll trust God will never be saved. It's a dead end. The just shall walk by faith, not by sight. The Bible says that repeatedly. We walk by faith. We look to God and we get some kind of a comprehension in our little pea brain about what He is, who He is, and what He's like. And we know that He's good. We know that He's not evil. We know that the devil is. What if God was like the devil? What if He was evil instead of benevolent? What if He hated His whole creation instead of loved them? You better thank God for who He is, what He is, and how what He's like. And when you get just a little bit of that, you ought to be able to trust Him. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38, "Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." God wants us to trust Him as a small child trusts a parent. Jesus said that. I read that to you a while ago in Matthew. Except you be converted and become little children, you can get in. Because He is God, and we're benighted sinners. It just has to be that way. Don't be the little child that says, but why? No, God said. That's just the way it is. Look to Him and trust Him. Believe in His character. He wants us to trust the promises in His Word. You know, we've got a book here. That is the Word of God. Been around a long time. Scriptures have been around a long time. Not just the last 400 years. It's God's Word. Written down. Job said, oh, that my words were graven in stone with a pen of iron. Well, that's what we got here, only better. The Word of God will stand forever. Heaven and earth pass away, but not this right here. It's eternal. And it's trustworthy. You can trust the promises that are here, that God made to us, even when we don't understand why. He wants us to rest in Him, even with no explanation for the present circumstances. Can you do that? You think you can do that? We all know of things that we just won't entertain in our mind. We see things happen to other people, and we won't go very far in our thoughts thinking of us being in that shape, because we can't. I don't know what I would do. I don't know how I could endure that. You know what I'm talking about? Well, you don't get that grace ahead of time, see? Faith and grace. I mean, you got to have that faith. But you're not going to have the grace until the time comes. And if you have the faith, God gives you the grace, that strength, the help that comes from God. It's just there. I know it is. Do you have the right kind of faith? Do you trust God because of who He is and what He said? That's the only basis for faith. Or do you continually demand that He prove Himself to you by giving you what you want? That's why I read to you there this morning, Brother Sam, what he said about his cancer. He's got stage 4 cancer, just found out, and looks bad. But that's what he said. He said, if God heals me completely, I'm praying for a full recovery. If God heals me, praise the Lord. If the cancer takes my whole body, praise the Lord. God's right. No matter what happens to me. That outward man perisheth. I don't know how many of you know this, but we're all going to die of something. We look around and say, I'll bet he goes first. No. And a lot of times that ain't the way it is at all. I told you last week, I looked into an obituary the other day in one funeral home in Poplar Bluff. The two top ones were 21 and 26-year-old young people. It is appointed unto man once to die. That don't mean that there's no God. That don't mean that God let me down. No, I'm going to die. He told me that. But He did something about that. He abolished death.
That's right.
Amen. Yes. So when I'm dying, I'm still going to die. Yeah, but when it's all done, it's going to be as if it never happened.
Yes.
Because Christ abolished death.
Yes.
Yeah, we're going to... If Jesus don't come and we live long enough here, we're going to... I'm going to do that. I'm going to have to die. This old body will die. Wear out and die. But don't think I'm dead. You remember Spurgeon said that. He said, if you read in the paper that old Spurgeon's dead, don't you believe a word of him. Be more alive than I've ever been. When Jesus rose from the dead, that means everybody's going to rise from the dead. Not just saved people. Everybody who ever lived is going to be alive.
Yes, sir.
And then the judgment.
Yes.
So, trust God.
Yes.
I do. I believe in God. And I don't mean that I just believe in a higher power up there somewhere. No, I believe in God who created all things, just like the book says. I've found him. Now, I've been saved for 45 years almost here. And I have found him to be faithful.
Amen.
Yes, amen.
Yep.
Has it always been good? No. Some of the worst things. Bitter. Oh, my goodness. But I never felt or thought that God had forsaken me. You know, there's things happen in times like that there's things that I never have even told anybody, or maybe her, that God just does for you in certain circumstances. He does what you need. And it's not for you to start a ministry on or to go telling everybody about and make everybody think you're crazy.
Yeah.
It was for me, not
that's
for
right.
you.
Yeah, that's right.
God rescued me.
Yes. Yes.
When I had to have it. That's why I'm telling you, I know it wasn't a mental game. It wasn't just hanging on and clinging. God, help me. He has strengthened me when I couldn't take another step. When I didn't know what to do. He's always been faithful. He's real. He's faithful. He's good. He's true to His Word. You can trust Him with your soul. You can. You better. Better get that kind of faith that'll stand no matter what happens. I wonder how many of us here tonight have that kind of faith, really. Let me tell you something, and I'm going to quit. But if you do, it'll just steady your life. You won't, the boat will quit rocking. You'll quit thinking about everything being a disaster every day and living in fear and dread and anger and frustration. It'll just speak peace to your soul.
Sure does. Yes, sir.
And you'll sail on. Yeah, amen. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And thank you for the truth that I know we can trust in. And Lord, I know that you've been faithful to me, as I've said. I pray you'd work in hearts here. And Lord, as we get ready to eat here and have our fellowship, I pray you'd bless the food. I pray you'd bless our time together. But I pray, Lord, that this would go out of this building in our hearts and minds, and we'd remember these words that we've read from your book and Lord, that we've talked about. How offensive it is to you, a holy God, for us to question or mistrust you or think you've lied to us. My. Lord, if I've ever even entertained such a thought, I'm sorry. Please, Lord, help me to never get to that point. And Lord, I pray for these here today too. I pray you'd work in hearts. A lot of young people here that haven't been on this journey too long. And I know there's rough waters ahead. And Lord, I pray for them tonight. That you'd help them while they have a chance to hear the Word of God and to study and to pray and to order their lives for Thee. I pray that they would get that kind of faith that'll carry them through what's ahead for them. We're living in perilous times, and being a Christian is not going to be an easy thing to do before long. And I pray that they'd be equipped with what they need. And Lord, help us to be able to help them while we can and edify them and give them the tools they need and the instruction to be able to sail this rough sea ahead, I pray. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness and love in Jesus' name. Amen.